Sarah Moran first learnt to code when she was 5, but as she grew older, she found some less encouraging responses about the kind of technology that she wanted to create. So, a bit frustrated with the lack of opportunities for girls and women in tech, she and 4 others founded Girl Geek Academy a few years ago, and they want to get 1 million women to learn tech by 2025. That's only 167,000 a year. It's fine. As one step towards that goal, they have partnered with Penguin on a series of books for young girls with tech and relationships at their core. Sarah joins me now, along with Alex Miles, the author of the series. The first one's called The Hackathon. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Sarah Moran, tell us about Girl Geek Academy. What do you do?
We do so much. We are focused on increasing the number of women who learn technology. They may learn to create games. And we also focus on the entire pipeline. So I learned to code when I was 5. So from 5 and up, we will be welcoming women to the world of the internet.
So when you say the pipeline, the whole through point from first being interested to maybe one day getting a job.
Absolutely. And we found there's a number of different intervention points that young people have. So between 5 and 8, you start thinking about, oh, I'm a girl and I want to learn technology. Then 9 to 12, you have thinking about what your career could look like or what sort of jobs men and women have, and then right through to making decisions in high school, through university, and then when you're actually in the workforce.
The sad thing is, though, looking at your website, that pipeline looks more like a funnel. It narrows as you get older.
It really does. And that's, you know, that's how we started. We're saying, we looked around and went, where are all of our friends? Because when we were younger, we were all interested in technology and we all did that together. And then as we grew up, the numbers dwindled. And so this is really an attempt to change that.
Now, when you think about your experience with technology growing up, what did you feel you were expected to do or allowed to do as a girl?
Oh, we had free rein. I was, you know, the reason I am who I am is because for us it was about exploring our curiosity and we learnt to build things together. It was very collaborative, the environments that I was blessed to be brought up in, until about year 10. And that's when it started to be a nerdy thing to do. It started to have social stigma. And I would point blank lie to my friends and I would say, no, I'm going to choir practice, not the computer room. And so it became a sense of shame. And that was compounded by teachers who really didn't necessarily understand what they were teaching. And we were smarter than them at the time. So, you know, our curiosity got the better of us. And so a whole combination of things really changed about what we could and couldn't do while we were still at school.
Tell us about a particular experience you had working on a website and you got some feedback from one teacher.
Yeah, it was so being who I am, I created a website, here were the rules, and I went way above them and I built a website that instead of being grey, I changed all the colours to pink and purple, added some music, maybe some glitter, you know, or the equivalent in HTML. And then my teacher said, your website doesn't look like everyone else's, so therefore it must be wrong because I don't understand what you've done here. It just doesn't look like the rules. And so I got in trouble for breaking the rules, even though I put all these extra hours in because I loved it. And so my reaction to that was typical 16-year-old, well, if you don't want me here, then I'm leaving. And so I went and studied legal studies instead, and I really regret that. I did have other support around me at the time, but I just wouldn't listen to it.
Well, and I would have hoped you'd been stepped out the door and been snapped up by a startup, because that is exactly the kind of creative thinking that they want. But you obviously returned to the space after a while, and you're very keen for other girls not to experience that kind of discouragement. How important is it to encourage women and girls to stay in tech rather than just assuming that they'll do it if they're interested?
Yeah, I think that encouragement really is about, well, I'm not going to do something if my friends aren't doing it at certain age groups. And we've found that the more that you have women around you supporting you and offering you that messaging, the more successful you're going to be. And if you think about a lot of male-dominated industries, that success comes from the networks we have and the networks we bring with us. They open up job opportunities. And so starting that as early as possible, but making sure that's maintained is really, really important.
And what are we missing out on if we don't have girls right through to the end of that pipeline?
Well, it's interesting because at the moment, almost every app that's built on your phone, the company is owned by a man. more to the point, an American man, probably in a small patch of dirt called San Francisco or Silicon Valley. And, you know, when you think about it, we have Australian problems that we want to be solving. We have problems that are experienced by women. We have ideas and we have so much talent that we're sitting on, and it's being funneled into other areas and it's not being reflected in the technology that we all use every day.
So you decided to go back into heritage media and create a book series. What's going on here?
Paper is still important. So what's fascinating is it's about the stories we tell each other. And as much as a 140-character tweet might get retweeted 100 million times, it's not actually doing anything to change the conversations we have and the narratives and how we're actually influenced. For young people, stories are the most important, and we still get those from books. The book industry, despite what you'd think, is still flourishing. And for us, that became really important to embrace that.
And Alex Miles, you were approached by Penguin to write the books in this series. What was it that sparked your interest?
Well, I already had an interest in technology, and when I learned a bit more about the world, what the Girl Geek Academy did, I just was really excited to be a part of it. The first two books that we were writing were the hackathon, and the second one is called Game On. That's about gaming. So I did have to be upfront at the start and say, look, I feel confident in the tech world. I do not know anything about gaming though, and is that going to be a problem? But it actually ended up being the best thing for writing the series. We found that we had a great team in terms of being able to work closely with the Girl Geek Academy and then have wonderful editors as well that helped bring it all together. But I think not being sort of mega, mega geek meant that I was able to approach it in the way that a reader could, that either can have a bit of technology, but if they don't, it's not going to be a scary level of technological terms and stuff in there. So I think that balance ended up working really well.
And what I found really interesting about the hackathon was that there's these four girls who are forced to participate in a school project together, and they are thrown together in this environment and they become a team. And it's fascinating to see that they don't all have to have the same skills or the same level of interest in the nitty gritty technical stuff, but it takes people with different skills to create apps or games. And solve problems in this way.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that was one of the most enjoyable things for me as a writer, was being able to learn all of this new stuff. And that was probably the biggest thing I learned about the tech side of things, in that it's changed certainly from the time we were at school. But even for kids now, to approach it in the thinking that technology is actually all about creative problem solving. So it's not just the Steve Urkel kind of character behind a computer tapping away. There's actually all sorts of people that are required to make technology. And that's where the hacker, hipster and hustler, as you mentioned, came into it, in terms of bringing different personalities into it and different skill sets.
So the hacker, the coding people, the hipster, the design people, and the hustler, the kind of team leader, project manager who gets everyone G'd up. Tell us a little bit about the storyline in the hackathon, because it underwent some changes, didn't it, while you workshopped it?
Yeah. So the other thing that I had said to Penguin when I started was that while the Girl Geek Academy had a really great message to share, it was important to me that story came first, because I think kids are they're smart and they can tell when they're reading something that's like, this is a message.
Drugs are bad.
Yeah, exactly. So again, I was really, really fortunate that we had a great group of people working on the books, and they all thankfully trusted me. And the brief was, write a book about four girls and friendship and technology. And that was just the open brief. So for the hackathon, it was kind of, it's sort of, I guess, the forming of this girl gang. So there are four girls in school. Eve is new to school, and then they get thrown together to work on this project called a hackathon. Of the four books in the series, they each follow a different character's story, and this one is Hamza's story. And she is someone who would never have identified as being a geek. She's an extrovert, but not confident in her own skin. But then through doing this project, these other girls who she would never have thought she had anything in common with, they found this shared love of technology, even though they are quite different and bring different things to the team. So it's kind of her friendship story. And through the editing process, originally the story was more of a kind of a bullying angle, in terms of her feeling, I guess, wasn't valued in her friendship group. But as we worked in the editing process, the Girl Geek Academy and Sarah made a great point early on. They said, "What can we just have a think about telling a different type of story? So instead of it being a traditional bullying story. It's actually just about a group of friends and what you do when your interests change. And it was a great, I'm really glad we did that one, because it meant we could tell a different type of story, but also because that would just, that's a universal thing. That happens to, even as adults, we move in and out of friendship groups. And then once you start a family, that suddenly changes. So it was interesting for kids to be able to go, what do you do when it's not like you've had a big fallout with a friend, but you're just, you're growing and you're changing, and how do you navigate those friendships when that happens?
Sarah, this I think resonates with some of your experiences, focus on relationships and making environments where women feel comfortable to be involved in and enthusiastic about this kind of stuff. Was there some experience that you had at a hackathon that resonated here?
Well, so we accidentally ran the first all-women hackathon in the world. Yep. Well, we kept going to, I would say, traditional hackathons, which is where you build a tech product in a weekend. And they're often held in basements. They'd feed us beer and pizza all weekend. And then at the end say, why don't more women come? And we were like, why does anyone come? This is not an appealing exercise. And so we redesigned it and said, okay, well, let's have some sunlight, let's have cupcakes, let's have yoga, and, you know, let's really think about the team building aspect, because if a hackathon is successful, you'll go on and build a company, right? And so that process, running an experience just for women, we learned so much about how particularly adult women connect and make new friendships. It's really hard to make new friends as an adult. Like if you, you know, how do you do that? You don't just go to the adult shop. Well, hopefully not that shop, definitely not that. But, you know, you don't, how you actually form those friendships becomes really important, and it is a story for life, and it's a skill, you know, and keeping those networks, as I mentioned earlier, becomes vital to career success.
How did the guys respond to this change with the cupcakes and the sunlight? Because there is something really cool about being in a basement with your mates, you know. Were they open to having this transformation?
They beat down our door to become mentors because it's an all-women hackathon. It's like, well, can we just help for the day? So they get really jealous, and it has actually changed a lot of the ways they run hackathons now. So we have had that influence on their culture, which has been great. You know, it's meant that the change, if you go to a normal hackathon now, you are less likely to see the beer and pizza in basements. So we're happy with that.
One of the really fascinating things that stood out for me from the book was that the girls got excited not just about the practical tasks they were doing, but the bigger picture. Is part of it selling the idea to girls that this is creative problem solving? There are really great goals and projects that you could make a difference with.
Absolutely. And I think, so the girls actually come up, they solve two problems for a plot point that I won't reveal. But essentially it's that idea that there are problems that will continue to face us, and that's what technology allows us to do, is about thinking about the future. I think a lot of time, like I remember when I was at school and people would say, you know, 85% of the jobs that you'll have in the future haven't been invented yet. And at the time, that scared the pants off me. You know, I was so worried that we would all not have jobs. 85% of us weren't having jobs. And what I've realized in my career, every job I've ever had hadn't been invented before I had it. And it was all about, it is about, well, what are the future problems going to be? Because I'll be there ready to solve them and be equipped to do that. So that's really what that messaging is. It's about giving that power to young people as early as you can. You can get in, solve it yourself.
That earliness is interesting too, Alex. These books are aimed at girls aged about 8 to 12.
Yeah.
Isn't that too late though? Because the ideas about what jobs go with what genders are really fixed by the time they're about 5 or 6.
Yeah, it does start earlier. I think we just felt with the sort of length of book and the types of narratives we can explore for that age group, it felt like a good place to start. Maybe this can be where we say to Penguin, hey, maybe we start a series younger as well. But for this, we thought it was a great starting point for this. You're right, it's certainly those gender stereotypes do start younger, as you say.
And you can find more information about Girl Geek Academy on their website and the interventions that they can stage for girls of all ages. I can see you two steepling your fingers like Dr. Evil with the idea of future projects, and I wish you all the best. Thanks for coming on to Life Matters.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Moran's co-founder of Girl Geek Academy, and Alex Miles is the author of Girl Geeks, The Hackathon, and three other books in that series, which is out now through Penguin. And you're listening to Life Matters here on RN.